We hope you've been enjoying our Tour de France coverage, and we want to say thanks to our main sponsors, Rafa and Science and Sport, as well as Hansgrohe, who have supported our Kilometre Zero series. But our other sponsors are you, the listeners. You can pay £15 to become a friend of the podcast and gain access to our friends' specials, extended episodes which offer a deeper dive into some of the people and stories from the world of cycling. Here's a small selection from the friends' specials we've released so far this year.
We've gone too far with information, and I'm trying to pull back from actually the amount of information that we are giving the guys, because especially at the Tour de France, it's sensory overload. And if you talk to the guys, which I do, if you're giving them too much information, there's a point there where they do switch off and you are talking to nobody, or they are not absorbing the information you're telling them because the environment is too stressful, or they are too fatigued at the time to be taking everything in. So I'm a big believer of less is better. In some races and certain times of the year, it's invaluable.
Here's one of the more recent ones, June 2012 to December 2016. So there we've got Owen Doull.
Owen Doull, yes, interestingly. He came over to do some Kermes races when he was perhaps the first year under 23, something like that. And he was riding for the British Cycling Academy, which is very track-based, but everybody knows to ride the track, well, you need to ride the road. Mm. So quite often they would come over to do the Kermes races.
Simon Yates there.
He's another one that was very successful in the Kermes races, suited his style of racing.
Funny that, isn't it?
Very well, yeah.
I mean, he's such a versatile rider. You know, he was obviously points race world champion, but he's a climber, and he's a guy we see up there in the mountains in Grand Tours, and yet can also hold his own in these races.
In a flat race, yes.
Unusual.
A good rider can ride anything, I reckon.
Foot of Outdoors, we were staying camping that evening. We drove to an auberge just around the corner. It was August. We all picked a chicken liver salad, believe it or not, with some green leaves, and then had a steak. Three dubious quality pieces of meat come over, which, you know, being France, are absolutely fantastic. They lit a fire over in the corner. I thought, it's not that cold, it is August. Chuck the meat on the fire. They come back a couple of minutes later, beautifully cooked. And a gratin dauphinois arrived from the kitchen, bubbling over in a cracked dish. There was no pomp and ceremony, just put on the table. Day climbing on the bike in the Alps with good friends, great food, and that there is just food memories.
Caught them both, and he was wearing a red rain cape to try and keep warm, and Cyril Guimard, his director, came up and said, take off your rain cape, we can't see the sponsors. And Eno said, get lost or you can ride it yourself.
I was going to tell a story about Sean Kelly from that race, because he pulled out with 15 kilometres to go, just couldn't go any further, his hands were frozen, his feet were frozen, and he took the opportunity to get into a warm car.
To sort of like reframe and be like, oh, it's not that bad, really.
Or that the opportunity is about to present itself. And like quite often we see things as working against us. And in fact, like in your case this week, you had to have a major bike repair, but it's taken you away from some of the worst weather in Europe. So you've not had to necessarily be on those roads, and you've been driven onto a turbo, which isn't as much fun as you'd want. But
maybe more specific training.
It's protected you. And also that rear stay is getting fixed now and not in the middle of a race.
Yeah. So I mean, it's early season. Yeah. It could be, like, had this have happened in the middle of the year, it would have completely disrupted my rhythm.
Yeah.
Who was the last Belgian to win one of the Grand Tours?
Yes, Giro. that was the last Belgian winner of Giro.
So 40 years ago that was. And I wondered, the story I'm trying to tell is, how do people in Belgium feel about such a long gap since there was a Grand Tour winner? Does it matter?
Yes, we would like to have again a Belgian rider that wins a big tour. As a federation, we are building on it, but it's not as simple as that, because now you have a lot of different nations. And that time, I think the most riders were Belgians, French, Italy, Spain, and that was it. Now you have all the world is presenting the tour. So the culture in Belgium is that we love classics. Also the Paris-Roubaix, we love the cobblestones and the big tours. Yeah, it's nice to see. And but if you have it, they would love it. But it's difficult.
Well, Lyman, there are a certain number of races that traditionally have been a great testing ground for under-23s. The Fond de Lizarde in France, for example, the Tour de l'Avenir, the Giro della Val d'Aosta in Italy. And if you look at the results from those races, you tend to get a pretty good idea of who's going to thrive in the pro ranks. However, there are a few individuals that seem to have a more acute eye than others for young talent, and they seem to be slightly better at spotting talent than others. One such man is Machin Fernandez, who is to date the only paid full-time, or was the only paid full-time scout for a World Tour team. He worked for Quickstep between 2015 and 2017. He accounts for, his talent spotting accounts for almost half of their team at the moment. And as we know, they have been wildly successful this year and in previous years, but the young riders this year have been especially impressive. Guys like Rémi Cavagna, Max Schachmann, Gaviria, of course, Hodge, friend of the Buffalo.
We pick up things as Daniel is beginning to read one of his entries from his diary for the Giro d'Italia. You'll hear readings from our new book, A Journey Through the Cycling Year. And the second half of the show is a Q&A with the audience.
Yeah, but this is the magic of podcasting. We can actually go back and repair a bit of that by playing Seb Piquet's introductions for each of us. And this is what the audience heard as we took to the stage. And then we picked Daniel up, I think, mid-flow?
No, he's beginning, just as he's beginning to tell us.
Are you trying to say that you're going to, like, scam this, though, and fake it, Lionel? I thought this was all about authenticity and...
No, not at all. Orla. I don't know.
It reminds me, being a music fan, it reminds me of the old, you know, all the scandals about the legendary live records were never actually recorded live. Like, you know, there was a bit of this and a bit of that. Like Live at Leeds, the famous Who record, was actually, part of it was recorded in Hull with a bass added afterwards. I mean, that's what a cycling podcast is turning into, you know, not a real live event.
Things started happening that I had no explanation for. I would starve myself training. You know, I'd go out and do a 6-hour bike ride on nothing more than 3 or 4 espressos, an aspirin tablet and some green tea tablets. I'd go, you know, flat out. I'd have a banana in the ride. I'd come back. I'd drink a couple of pints of water, eat a salad, fall asleep in the afternoon, then go training again in the afternoon. But then I'd sit with dinner and drink a bottle of red wine.
By the time Manon Lloyd was given the all clear, the race had long since moved on and we had been spat out of the bubble. On open roads with free-flowing traffic and fans already packing up to go home, a police escort and Bob's encouragement were all Manon had to try to get back in the race.
Come on, Manon, we can do this. Nice and calm, and trust me, sit on the bumper, sit in the middle, and we'll take you back nice and controlled. We'll give you as many instructions as we can. If you feel unwell at any point, just let me know.
You know that there's quite a tragic ending to this story. In my book, I wrote about our last outing together. And my story, the story that I wrote about, it's true. My brother was very unwell, and he came down into my office one evening and said to me, "Tomorrow we ride," even though he was significantly ill. He was so frail, just supporting himself on the bike was a challenge. And that, sadly, was his last time out on the bike, the final 5 or 6 kilometres of joy we shared together.
Il descend dans mon bureau de travail et c'est là qu'il me dit, demain on roule.
If you're up to date, then don't forget that you can also access episodes from previous years with Friends subscriptions going back to 2015, and including an extended interview with Geraint Thomas from 2016. Others include the story of HTC High Road, Mont Ventoux, Operation Puerto, the Lionel of Flanders, and many other fascinating stories from the world of professional cycling. Become a friend of the podcast by creating an account on thecyclingpodcast.com. You can then choose from the options, signing up for 2018, or if you're a new subscriber, buying the bundle package from 2015 to 2018 with a £5 discount. Once you've subscribed, you can find out how to add the Friends feeds to your podcast app by going to thecyclingpodcast.com/friends.